With you again and be able for just a few moments look at some things we find in God's Word. Thankful for your presence this morning, the wonderful singing that we have had. Appreciate the songs, having a faith that will not shrink, and then be reminded that faith truly is the victory. And it's wonderful to be able to sing about that. Psalms 100 is where I want to look for just a little while this morning. This week, of course, we all know that Thursday is Thanksgiving. And it is wonderful to be able to have a holiday set aside for that express purpose. And I think those are thoughts that we all have. We're appreciative of that. Not just the idea the Cowboys are going to play on Thursday or something like that. And that's not all bad, but it's the idea of why we have this particular day. Because it is a frame of mind and a disposition. Look with me, Psalms 100 and just five verses. Read with me there. Verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise, be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. One of the most popular psalms for hundreds and hundreds of years. Many surveys have been done as to what your favorite psalm is. And almost always, Psalms 23 is the one that's most of the time is number one. But Psalms 100 is always there in the top two or three or four, somewhere along there. Psalms 100. I like Psalms 1. That's a great one. Psalms 119 is great. Psalms 110 is a great psalm where David wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord, set thou my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." There are many great psalms in the book of Psalms. Some of them are long, but some of them are great like this one. It's just five verses, but it is a psalm of praise, as it's just been described before. And it just says, make a joyful shout. That word is translated different ways throughout the Old Testament. Sometimes it means to sound an alarm or blast a trumpet in alarm. Sometimes it means to simply cry aloud. Sometimes it means the idea of just praising. And so the translation here of shout or joyful shout is one that I think we can appreciate. But then he says, now the writer says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, all you lands, all people, everywhere. Should be people, every person should be one who could rejoice in the things of Jehovah. The psalmist is speaking here as we look at it about coming before God, being before God in His presence and entering His gates in a relationship of singing to Him and praising to Him. And of course, I guess verse 4 is really the verse that most people would think of. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. When we come to worship God, we assemble in the name of our Lord, wherever it may be, at whatever time, we are coming into the presence of God. And it's not that He does not notice. He is aware when we have people of faith gathered together. And hopefully those are some of the thoughts we think of Thursday. That we have set aside in this nation a day in which we can express thanks. And so I'm going to talk about that just a little bit in Psalms 100 and just think of the idea of entering with thanksgiving. Imagine a frame of mind, a disposition that we could enter into a place with thanksgiving, joy or happiness, and being recognized as being a part of God's people. Let me suggest to you several points. One of the first things that comes to my mind is that thanksgiving is, I guess, the proper response for all of mankind. It truly is the one thing we can give to God that's ours. I mean, everything else is God's. Our bodies, this earth, our life, the time here, that's God's. And God can take it at any time. But the one thing that we can give Him that truly is ours is an appreciative heart, a heart of thanksgiving for so many things. And be moved, just like we're reading here in this verse and many other places. You could just read all through the Bible over in Isaiah. Let me read several passages in Isaiah. Isaiah 45, if you're following along. And we'll look, and we could multiply this again just with the ideas that Isaiah writes. Isaiah 45 and verse 12. Isaiah writes, he says, I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. God's our creator, first and foremost. God's not just the creator of us. He's the creator of all things that do exist. And He is the one who redeems us and sustains us. If you're there in Isaiah with me, back up to the 26th chapter, Isaiah 26. And we could read like verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect. He can sustain us in our life through our faith and trust in him. And then, again, this is just Isaiah. I don't know how many of you could read like this. Go back to the 44th chapter. We looked at 45, but back in the 44th chapter, you look down at verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. He's our creator. He is our sustainer in this life. He is the one that is our redeemer. I mean, like I said, we could just make a tremendous list down through here. But because God is these things, thanksgiving is a proper response for us. And aligning our thoughts to give him those thoughts at any given time for the very fact that of our existence. Let me read for you in the New Testament, in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. Because he's our creator, because he really is our sustainer, because he is the one who redeems us. Certainly we can think of him and in our existence, the very existence we have, and give thanks to him always. There's a lot of things that would take our hearts and minds off of that. But if we think truly, disciplined, and say, I will give thanks always for this. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. There's another one that he makes this statement. And we could just see these from, again, so many different places. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 4, we read, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Our daily bread, our food. We can thank God for the things that sustain our life, his existence, is that which is one concern for us. Romans the 6th chapter and verse 17. Paul's talking there about our salvation again. Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So, I mean, Old and New Testaments, this idea of seeing God in his proper perspective, he is our creator, he's our sustainer, he truly is our redeemer. We can be thankful to him always for our existence, for the daily bread that we have, for the salvation that we enjoy. And all through the Bible is like this, this idea of thanksgiving, and I don't know how many psalms are written Look with me, though. We're looking at Psalms 100. If you're following along there, look over to Psalms 103. Two or three over. That's just another beautiful one. It's a little bit longer. But Psalms 103 begins and ends the same way. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Just look at the thoughts with me here. Psalms 103. Let's read down through there. Beginning in verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Verse 6. "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Verse 11. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Verse 15. "As for a man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them." Verse 19. "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And we could repeat that a lot of times, all through the book of Psalms. It's the way David thought. It's the way he wrote. And yet, just when you think of the idea of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is truly the proper response for mankind to God. And it's amazing to read these thoughts that these people thousands of years ago would write that could lead us in our understanding of what we should be in our relationship to God. There's so much about life we don't understand, but we recognize He is God. He will not answer us. There's so many people that are so angry with God and they're so foolish in it. I told you one time I was reading a book on the survivors of Auschwitz, and one of the people said, "God's going to have to ask me for forgiveness." No, He's not. As a matter of fact, His answers will leave you with the inability to answer Him. You remember over in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, where they thought they had Jesus sort of hemmed in. Matthew 22, and they had asked Him several questions. And they had asked Him, "What is the great law?" Matthew, the 22nd chapter, down at verse 46. And He answers them, beginning in verse 41. "And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?'" And keep in mind, now He asked them a question because they had asked Him a question about some people that a wife who had been married to several people and some other things, and they had just misunderstood the Old Testament. Jesus just said, you're mistaken, not knowing the scriptures. But here he asked them a question. What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, well, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, in verse 44, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That's Psalms 110 we talked about a moment ago. And Jesus' question of that is, if David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Verse 46, and no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any longer. God wouldn't answer us. God says, I am God. And we need to leave it at that. I don't understand why things happen the way they do. But our attitude should be one, because he is our creator and our sustainer and our redeemer, that we should approach him with thanksgiving and a desire for him to help us instead of arguing and fussing with him so many times as so many people do. Let me suggest to you a second one. And if we can get the proper understanding of the first one, thinking thanksgiving is really the really proper response, then be appreciating the idea, appreciate the idea that thanksgiving really changes attitudes and thoughts. When we just look at things throughout the Bible, what attitudes does thanksgiving change? Well, I guess it changed all of them, but basically many of them that affect our relationship to God, humility would be the first one. Look with me in James, the fourth chapter. In James, the fourth chapter, James is telling us here our response to God in maybe the difficulties of the way we're having to live life. James 4, beginning, let's see, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is something that would better serve us, and it comes as a result of us and our thanksgiving to the Lord. Verse 7, after he says, and he gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. This idea of approaching God is one, the question of humility and humbleness of coming to God, and thanksgiving is that which would allow us to become more humble. Back in the Old Testament, Psalms 29, verse 23, he talks about that when he's mentioned the idea of humility. Psalms 29, verse 23. He says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. A man's pride will bring him low. Proverbs 29, verse 23. Contemporary Jewish Bible translates that, the proud will be humbled and the humble will be honored. I'm just suggesting to you, if we have this attitude toward God of more humility and humbleness before him, we would be more blessed in the long run, in our relationships to the Lord, in the way we see things of the Lord. You recognize that you haven't, if you're a humble person, you recognize you haven't gotten everything in life on your own. A lot of people believe they have, but to simply say thank you is to express to someone that someone else's contributions in life have been a part of my life. And we ought to be thankful enough to the Lord to be able to recognize that when we are thankful, we are not as likely to be lifted up with pride. So if the idea of being thankful is something that would help our humility, then certainly we should do that. It also would help us in our prayers. Philippians, the fourth chapter. The Apostle Paul talks there about the power of prayer, Philippians, the fourth chapter. And we read down about verse 6. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. That is, do not be filled with anxiety of this world. And that's so very easy to do if we take our eyes off the Lord, off His Word, and start looking at everything around us. He says, don't allow your heart to be filled with anxiety, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand. I mean, it's just that way. And when we have the idea of prayer, it is approaching God to express to Him our thanks. A thankful person is a praying person. Almost always a praying person, the other way around, someone who is thankful to God for everything they have. We recognize our reliance upon God, and it keeps us from becoming people who are selfish, self-centered. So if we can be humble, and if we can be a person of prayer, we will be leading a life that is much closer to what God would have us to be and do, and that He would bless. Also, the idea of joy. Because in this old dark world, we've got to have a frame, discipline, purpose in life that we're going to see things as God would have us see it. And there's a lot of things in this world that could keep us down. Psalms 97 and verse 12, I'll just read this one for you. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. I would suggest to you again that thanksgiving goes right along with the idea of being joyful. That's what Psalms 100 was all about. It seemed like it was just one long picture of being people of joy, thankful to God for people who are content. And content can lead us to be people of joy and people of happiness. Thoughts with gratefulness is that which will allow us not to become people of ingratitude or people of discontent. I mean, so the idea just of humility and prayer and the idea of joy is something that we can come from the idea of thanksgiving. It changes many other attitudes, but those are the most important, it would seem to me. Let me suggest to you one other, and that would be the outward look that we would have. Thanksgiving leads to action on our part. If we are people who understand the idea of the gratitude of God, that He is our Creator, He's our Sustainer, He is the one that blesses us on a daily basis, then we can have a greater outlook on life for other people than those just of this world. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, a verse that we can quote most of the time, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts always, and be ready to always give an answer of the hope when He add the reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. The idea of being ready always to explain to someone who asks us of our hope is one that would help us. We want others to be able to have the very attitude that God blesses us with. That's part of the preaching of the gospel. Back in the Old Testament, Psalms 107, verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. If we're thankful for the food and the clothing and the shelter we have, we'd certainly love to see someone else have those things, and we will work toward it. If we are thankful for whatever good life we have, in whatever way you describe it, we would want others to enjoy that. The blessings of God, if we see God blessing our life. If we are thankful to God for our salvation, the very relationship we have with God, we'd be glad to talk to someone else about that. That would be our attitude about it. Back in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus, where it talks about Him feeding the 5,000, the attitude of Jesus there was that very way. John, the 6th chapter, in verse 11, we read, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, And the disciples of those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had filled, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. And they gathered up 12 baskets full. Jesus' thankfulness for the bread and the fish, the thankful that he expressed to his Father, was able to be able to help others and increase that overflowing abundance of their life and things to such a degree they picked up 12 baskets full. And the meaning of the significance of it is the very same thing that we have in our, when we observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. It reminds us of what God has done for us. It reminds us of what Christ has done for us and our welfare, and also for the welfare of others as we point people to the Lord. When we talk about it, we are urged into action simply because what God's done for us, we would like to have God do for others, that he has urged into action, the worship of God and the keeping of ourselves right with God according to the Word of God. When we look in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we look in, 13th chapter, Hebrews 13th chapter, the last chapter, he's talking there again about the idea of how thankful we are, just the way we live our lives. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and we read verse 15. He says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let's think about that again. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Not sacrificing of animals, but sacrifice of praise for what God has done for us. The sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We enter the gates to give before him this tremendous accolade of tremendous thoughts of what he has done for us, really beyond our ability to comprehend. And so when we come back to Psalms 100 again, he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, or he's our shepherd. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and pray. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Thanks be unto God for his ability to bless us for throughout the entire Bible, the thousands of years of recorded history of God's relationship to his people, and that you and I can learn from it today. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. We extend the heaven's invitation to you, just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. He was preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The blessings of God would come upon you. And that very day, 3,000 people responded to it. So if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you believe in Christ and have the courage to stand and confess his name before mankind, we'd be more than happy to assist you in being baptized into the body of Christ. And there may be members of the body of Christ. Maybe you've forgotten the thrill, the joy of what it means to be a child of God like Psalms 100 describes. Now let's get our thoughts back together. We've done things wrong, let's make them right. And let's start walking that straight and narrow path again. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing.